It's 10:45 and we know what that means. It is time for the AusPol update with Nick. He's sauntered into the studio, ready to go. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, thank you. It's cold.
I'm fine because I've dressed for the weather.
Yeah, I'm famous for not dressing for the weather.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall I update?
What's been making
now?
News? No, let's not do
let's
the segment.
Let's just talk about updates.
Yeah.
All right, come on. So this week was all about the budget.
Budget update.
So Treasurer Jim Chalmers handed down the budget, the first full budget of their Labor's time in office. And the big headline, of course, was the achievement of a small surplus, which is the first time this has happened since the Rudd government was in power 15 years ago. So the surplus is very small, and it is expected that we will be back in deficit by next year, but it's still something you could tell the Treasurer was very proud to announce, especially because the opposition was not able to deliver a surplus during their 9 years in government. However, there has been some pushback to this surplus on two fronts. So the first is a lot of economists alongside the opposition have been chalking the surplus up to the increased price of exported commodities due to the war in Ukraine. So the shadow treasurer, Angus Taylor, even went so far as to say a drover's dog could have achieved a surplus this year. The coalition has also been saying today that this budget is only in surplus because of the work of the former Liberal treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. However, it doesn't seem like, I don't get the sense that this is bothering the government too much at the moment. The fact that there might be a little bit more concerning for them, though, is the public questioning from activists, crossbenchers, and from the Greens primarily that the government could only provide a surplus because they did not adequately raise funding for vital welfare services like JobSeeker and the NDIS.
Yeah, so that was sort of an issue that was perhaps going to be resolved last week. I remember talking about it last week. We weren't too sure which way they were going to go with JobSeeker.
In the lead up to the budget, there was this idea that JobSeeker wouldn't be raised at all, and then there was the idea that it would only be raised for over 55s. So what was clarified, which I'll cover a bit later, is that JobSeeker universally has been raised and over 55s have gotten a little bit of an extra boost. But early indications really seem like they weren't going to move at all on JobSeeker. Whether or not public pressure and the Greens and activists caused them to change that tactic late in the game, we don't know. But I'll cover in a bit what actually came through. What we're going to see tonight, though, is Peter Dutton will hand down his official budget reply, which I'm sure will spark a lot of arguments from either side, and that'll continue over the coming weeks, as is normal with budgets. But yeah, today I think it'll be most helpful if I just break down what is in the budget.
All right, take it away.
So some of the budget items that are kind of listed as quote-unquote winners are there's going to be a 15% increase in the wages of aged care workers. There's going to be approximately $1 billion invested in the arts, primarily into institutions like the National Gallery and National Library. $4.7 billion for cheaper childcare that will primarily benefit those on lower incomes, then $500 in energy relief to pensioners and concession holders, as well as $650 to small businesses. There's going to be $1.3 billion to support households transitioning to green energy or energy-saving measures like double glazing windows, $2 billion for the development of a clean hydrogen industry. A new environmental protection agency and a new net zero authority will be created. And then we're also going to see a tripling of the bulk billing incentive for GPs that see children under 16, pensioners, and concession card holders. And interestingly, this morning we saw Tasmanian Senator Jackie Lambie say to GPs in Tasmania that won't begin bulk billing with this new funding that she would, quote, be coming for you.
Oh, no.
End quote, which is a little bit scary, especially from Jackie Lambie. We're also going to see rent assistance increase universally by 15%. And then here are the JobSeeker measures. JobSeeker will increase, but only by $40 a fortnight. And JobSeeker perks that were previously only available to those over 60 will now be extended to those over 55. We're also going to be seeing federal MPs will be getting an additional employee in each of their offices. The Australian Secret Intelligence Service and the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade will also be getting some boosts in their funding. Roughly $2 billion will be invested in partnerships in the Pacific. Additional $200 million of funding will go to Ukraine. And of course, some measures that we've already talked about, including changing superannuation concessions for those with over $3 million in their super. And of course, pharmacy prescriptions, being able to get those every 2 months and half price instead of every month. Now, this is only a fraction of the announcement, and I already feel like I need a drink of water after saying all that. But those are mainly the winners' side. There are also some that are called quote-unquote losers, and those are things like cigarette taxes will go up by 5%. Sorry, tobacco taxes will go up by 5%. There will be $234 million of investment to get recreational vapes off the streets. And the cost of getting an Australian visa will increase by 6%, which will, of course, be quite hard for new migrants. There are, of course, more of those loser lines in the budget, and many, primarily the Greens, are making the argument that young people and students and those on government payments are losing out on the budget from those quote-unquote wins in the job seeker section.
Yeah, that's a lot to take in. I'm scared to ask this. But is there anything else for us that you haven't brought up?
Yeah, the budget is quite an exhausting thing to discuss because it's just a long list.
Yes.
So I won't overdo it today, but I will just mention two quick things. Firstly, Stuart Robert, the Liberal member for Fadden, is signalling that he will be resigning from politics, which will, of course, trigger another by-election. This comes alongside growing speculation that former Prime Minister Scott Morrison is also on his way out the door. Both Morrison and Roberts' seats are held on wider margins than the seat of Aston, which was that by-election we had in April, which Labour won historically. That being said, I don't know if that's too much cause for comfort in the Liberal Party room, but they do have a bit more of a buffer there. And I'll, of course, update as that progresses. And the other thing to note is that there's also been a lot of fighting in the Senate over the Housing Australia Future Fund, which Labour did try to jam through the Senate yesterday before the Greens, the Coalition and the crossbenchers, most of the crossbenchers voted to allow debate. This, of course, led to a lot of politicking with Labour senators on social media and in the press trying to argue that the Greens are in a coalition with the LNP to stop new housing projects coming online. And this is a very similar tactic that was used in the Rudd Gillard years regarding the carbon pollution reduction scheme. So this may be the biggest fight in the parliament we've seen so far, but I'll update you again as this goes on.
Yeah, the pollution reduction scheme was a pretty huge deal. So I think this is going to be an interesting one to watch to see how this comes together or not.
And just to clarify on that, when the CPRS went through, the Greens voted with the coalition to vote it down. Mm. This was just a vote on allowing debate because I think Labour tried to push it through with only about 45 minutes of debate.
Yeah.
And the crossbenchers and the Greens were like, very unhappy with that.
We need to talk about it. So yeah, that's fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough action from the Greens, I reckon. Well, sounds good. Okay, bye.
Let's pull update.
Thanks for joining us, Nick.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful to talk to you. That was Ospol Update. For another week to hear previous Ospol updates, just search Ospol Update or Nick Newling on the 2SER website to hear all the previous backlogs that we have on there. They're all wonderful chats.